Scroll through Instagram for 5 minutes and you'll see them everywhere. Couples in matching outfits, surprise proposals at sunset, breakfast in bed with rose petals. The hashtag relationship goals hashtag has over 10 million posts, painting romance as a highlight reel of perfect moments. But here's the uncomfortable truth. Most of these curated snapshots hide chaos behind the camera. The couple sharing a candlelit dinner might have fought bitterly an hour before. The spontaneous beach kiss took 17 takes to get the lighting right. This disconnect between perception and reality creates dangerous expectations. We're chasing relationships that look good online rather than relationships that feel good in real life. Growing up in Tulsa, Michael Todd learned about relationships primarily from TV shows and movies, not exactly reliable sources. Most of us receive similar education, absorbing romantic ideals from entertainment rather than wisdom from mentors. The church often contributes to this knowledge gap by offering only basic prohibitions without practical guidance. We're told what not to do, but rarely shown what healthy relationships actually look like. The result? We drift through dating without purpose, taking whatever comes rather than intentionally pursuing what's right. Real relationship goals require aim, not just ambition, a target aligned with divine design rather than cultural trends. Relationship existed before humanity. The Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, demonstrated perfect connection before creating Adam and Eve. This foundation reveals that when God is the center, relationships find stability. Without Him, even good connections lack strength to weather storms. Consider Doug's story. This generous, successful man thrived in business and faith, even adopting children who needed homes. But when his faith cracked, everything crumbled. Partnerships dissolved, friendships faded, his marriage ended. One broken relationship with God triggered a domino effect through every other connection. God declared everything good until He noticed Adam alone and said, "Not good." This revealed humans need both vertical connection with God and horizontal connection with others. Eve was created as a helper just right for him, not to complete Adam, but to support his God-given mission. We should understand our own purpose before seeking someone to share it. When God is the foundation, relationships become partnerships in purpose rather than desperate attempts to fill emotional voids. When did being single become something to apologize for? Our culture treats singleness like a disease, but it's actually the construction site where you build a foundation for everything that follows. Diamond's transformation illustrates this perfectly. After overcoming sexual abuse through faith, she intentionally stopped dating, not because she was broken, but because she was becoming whole. During this reset, she finished her education, established her career, and discovered who she actually was. Now, she seeks men who will help her become who she's meant to be, rather than men who simply fill loneliness. Marriage reveals our flaws. Michael jokes that his wife continuously exposes his shortcomings, but proper preparation during singleness makes this growth smoother rather than catastrophic. Singleness provides time for three essential activities. Invest in non-romantic friendships and creative passions. Imagine future possibilities like travel or financial freedom, and inspire others through mentoring. This isn't wasted time, but necessary preparation. Just like a holiday meal can't be rushed without ruining the result, healthy relationships require patience and proper groundwork. Michael's 10 months of insanity, breaking up with his future wife Natalie to date others, created 10 years of marital insecurity. Painful proof that dating without purpose causes lasting damage. Dating should be transportation to marriage, not a permanent destination. Like an airport tram, it should move relationships toward covenant commitment. Yet many sit indefinitely in dating relationships, afraid to progress or walk away. Recreational dating, one-night stands, hookups, short-term relationships, hardens hearts, diminishes self-worth, and creates distance from God. Two questions matter. Is the person you're dating bringing glory to God? And is how you're dating bringing glory to God? The Bible warns against being unequally yoked. Partnering with someone who doesn't share your faith creates constant tension. Brandon and Taylor wanted to date differently after troubled histories. Michael introduced them to Intentional Friendship, a 90-day structured approach with friendship as the cornerstone. They worked with a married couple as advisors, set boundaries including curfews and physical limitations, and had focused conversations using relationship books. After 90 days, they evaluated based on patterns, not potential. This led to marriage a year later, proving that purpose transforms dating from recreation into preparation. What if the hardest part of relationships isn't finding someone, but knowing when to let them go? T and Valeria seemed perfect, both spiritually mature individuals serving in ministry. Yet their relationship deteriorated into emotional turmoil because they prioritized dating over their individual relationships with God. Even good people can have terrible relationships when spiritual priorities get confused. Relationships either bless or curse us. We must evaluate whether they push us toward or away from God's purpose, distinguishing assets from liabilities. As Michael discovered, some of the problems you face are a result of the people you embrace. The biblical story of Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar reveals two fundamental reasons for ending relationships: when you realize you started it and God didn't, and when the relationship is picking on your promise, unhealthy relationships threatening God's intended blessings. Ben's story demonstrates the cost of ignoring red flags. After 5 years with Tina, he proposed despite deep unhappiness. A mentor helped him recognize warning signs like her emotional neediness and dislike of his friends. When Ben attempted to pause their engagement, Tina ended everything, proving it's better to evaluate relationships early. Abraham's handling of separation from Hagar provides three principles: end it quickly by acting immediately once you know God's direction, end it kindly by showing generosity even in separation, and end it cleanly without ambiguity. Vague endings cause more pain than clean breaks. Why can't you stop thinking about an ex long after it ended? Why do casual hookups never feel casual? Sex creates invisible bonds that modern culture dismisses but profoundly affect our emotional and spiritual lives. Sex is like water, powerful when properly contained, destructive when uncontained. Marriage is God's designed container for sexuality. What seems like sexual freedom is actually slavery to sex, bringing deception and manipulation. The naturalistic argument that sex is simply a bodily function like eating fails to recognize that while food was made for the stomach, our bodies were made for the Lord. Patrick's story illustrates this reality. Casual sex made him emotionally numb, causing him to lose pieces of himself with each encounter. After hearing a message on sexual purity, he committed to abstinence until marriage. Similarly, Kimberly and Spencer discovered how pornography disconnected them during intimacy as they replayed pornographic scenes rather than being present with each other. Soul ties form when someone allows their soul, mind, will, and emotions to become attached to someone influential. Sexual soul ties outside marriage create invisible strings pulling people back toward former partners. Separating is like ripping apart glued paper, messy and damaging, leaving emotional fragments behind. For believers united with Christ, sexual sin involves Him directly. Breaking soul ties requires God's resurrection power. If God can raise Jesus's body and later raise yours from the dead, He has enough power to help you manage your body while you're living. Marriage isn't two halves making a whole. It's two whole people plus God creating something new. The equation is 1 + 1 + 1 = 1, where one man, one woman, and God create one healthy marriage. As each partner draws closer to God at the triangle's apex, they naturally draw closer to each other. God designed marriage for oneness. One God, one man, one woman, one marriage, one sex partner, one flesh, one lifetime, creating one picture of Christ's relationship with the church. True love manifests through sacrifice and giving. Both spouses must die to self daily, putting aside personal desires for unity. Contrary to cultural messaging, mature love develops after marriage, not before. Premarital emotions often attach to idealized versions or confuse lust with love. Like our relationship with God that deepens after covenant, marital love solidifies through commitment. Women typically need security, affection, and empathetic communication. Men typically need honor, respect, support, and sexual intimacy. Understanding each other's love languages is crucial. Michael's wife places affirming post-it notes on his mirror because his language is words of affirmation, while hers is quality time. Conflict is inevitable but healthy when it prevents secret resentment. Unspoken expectations kill relationships. Expressing primary emotions like hurt rather than secondary ones like anger leads to resolution. Real relationship goals aren't Instagram perfect moments, but imperfect daily choices to love sacrificially and keep God at the center.